Welcome back once again to Anime Death Spiral, the only anime podcast to come to America on the Mayflower with the Pilgrims. Yes, we've been around that long. No, we have not found a way to make money off of this show yet.
I'm sorry, listeners. You have yet again failed to escape. You are somehow still listening to this. You've made the fatal error of hitting play on this podcast yet again. Better luck next week.
The only winning move is to not play. You know that. Everybody knows that.
The only winning move is to not hit play on this podcast. And yet, here you are to listen to manga and anime talk.
Inextricably so.
I can't believe you did that yet again. Unfortunately for you, we've both read a bunch of manga and intend to talk about it.
Oh, indeed.
I cut Nate off at the knees last episode, so... he's got a bunch of shit really backed up he wanted to get to.
These are some titles that I had a lot of fun with that I really wanted to talk about.
You're desperate. You're gagging to talk about.
I'm desperate to get these out because, let's be honest, your intake on manga is so much more than mine. It is like trying to compete with a fire hose when all I have is a super soaker.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I know. You're the trout, I'm the stream. I get it.
I'm just trying to navigate your path, man.
Or is that the salmon? I don't know. I don't eat fish.
I don't like this metaphor. I only eat beef.
I don't get all that fish eating. What's up with that?
Hey, fish eaters, what's up with that?
What's up with that?
Message us. Let us know.
All that stuff going on in the ocean, that's fucking weird. You ever see some of that shit that lives in there? That's disgusting.
They just do their business wherever they go, and they swim in it. It's gross.
You seen that blobfish? Are you telling me you eat that shit?
I couldn't stand it.
What's wrong with you people?
Couldn't stand it, man. All right. Getting off topic, getting away from fish here.
He's desperate. I'm desperate
to get to this. I do have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
How much would you be willing to put up with if your rent... on a brand new, fully furnished, full modern amenity apartment was only $28 a month?
And I live alone?
You live alone. Well, let's get to that. Let's get to that.
Oh, okay. How big is it?
Let's say 400 square feet.
400 square feet. Okay, that's not huge.
It is a Japanese apartment.
So that means one room.
Yeah, well, you have a kitchenette and an attached living room and a bathroom and a bedroom.
Okay. What are we talking, internet? Fiber?
Oh, yeah. Included in the $28.
All right, and do I live next to a drummer?
No.
Oh, okay.
You do have neighbors, though. You do have neighbors.
I mean, that is a shame. I don't really like having people in my space.
It's not ideal, but...
Which I do include everywhere around my space.
I mean, if you're going to be a modern urban go-getter woman in today's high-speed society, this is a pretty good deal. You'd have to agree, right?
It's hard to argue with that, considering, when I go on to Zillow or whatever, I'm seeing... multiple zeros. I could deal with $28.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm gonna throw a speed bump in here.
Oh no.
And let's see how this affects your answer. What if you had to live with a dog?
What kind of dog? Are we talking about like a Scooby-Doo dog? Is it getting up to antics?
There's some antics involved. It is this being modern day go-getter Japan. It is a Shiba Inu, a toy size Shiba Inu.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine, I guess. They're kind of cute, I suppose.
Now, okay, and hear me out. Then this may actually make it a better deal. What if the dog was a ghost?
I'm not sure that makes it better or worse for me. That's pretty much even.
Well, I mean, yeah, ghost, you don't have to feed it.
Well, I wouldn't feed it anyway. I assume it's hanging around against my will to begin with.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like I bought it.
It is bound to the apartment because in life it suffered a horrible death.
Do I have to hear about it?
Well, and that is the last thing I wanted to bring up. It is a talking ghost dog.
Jesus, and the dog talks. I did say if this was like a Scooby-Doo scenario.
It is a bit of a Scooby-Doo scenario, yes. I can't get around that now.
Wow, this deal is getting worse by the minute.
I mean, still $28.
I mean, I'd put up with it. Shit, I fucking lived with frat guys for a while. I guess I could deal with a dead talking dog.
Well, then you came to the same conclusion as the heroine of Shiba Inu Rooms. This is a weird little manga that I found that's, you know, currently running. I think it's like 18, 19 chapters in right now.
Sure.
And it is about a lady, recent high school graduate, who is trying to save up money to go to university. And she found this amazing apartment deal with the catch that the building, and it's not just her apartment, it is every apartment in the building, is haunted by talking Shiba Inu ghosts.
Wait, every single one? Every apartment?
Every single one. Every single one, yeah.
Holy shit.
Well, and here brings me to the weird, like, tonal gap that I really am enjoying about it.
Okay.
Like, the reason that the building is haunted by Shiba Inu ghosts is because it used to be, like, the building itself used to be a puppy mill, like an illegal puppy mill run by the Yakuza.
Yeah, that would have been my guess, yeah. And they mismanaged it.
Yeah, well, they go, what happened, and they go into some really gruesome detail about it, was, okay, like, there was a huge power outage that knocked out the air conditioning in the building. And instead of saving the puppies, the Yakuza just abandoned them in the cages, which is super messed up. So the Yakuza abandon all of these puppies, and now the Shiba Inu puppies haunt the building. And so she has to deal with the one that lives in her apartment, who's a dick. This is the catch. All of the other haunted apartments, like, they're cool with their ghost puppies.
Their, you know, dog is cool.
Yeah, their dogs are cool.
It's funny and chill.
Well, that is kind of the general tone that it's settled into, right? Is it seems to be mostly about, right now at least, you know, each chapter or a couple of chapters is her encountering another one of the tenants that currently occupy this building and getting to know them as neighbors. And then also, like, you get a little, you know, profile of what their ghost dogs are like, you know, such as the first neighbor that she encounters is, you know, like a goofy kind of fun-loving guy. His apartment has like 20 ghost dogs in it.
Wow.
They're all mostly chill with him because he himself is very kind of like golden retriever coded.
He's a himbo?
He's a little bit of a himbo. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. And I don't know where they're going with this because, like, I want to get back to the heroine. They introduce her as, like her special quality that she introduces herself as having is she's unflappable. Like, she doesn't get scared at, like, horror movies or ghost stories.
Like me.
Yeah.
I relate. Yeah. I relate.
And so she's like, all right, well, living with a ghost is going to be no problem because I'm not scared of ghosts and I don't believe in them.
I ain't scared of no ghost.
She is, in fact, not scared of ghosts, but it's more about then having to learn to live with a crappy roommate who's like always giving you commands and putting you down and is also just kind of stupid because they are, in fact, still dogs. I want to be clear about that. This isn't like they're super humanized talking dogs. They're saying stuff like what an actual dog would be saying if they could talk. Does that make sense?
What would a dog be saying exactly?
Well, mostly, hey, why aren't you paying attention to me? Hey, why aren't you feeding me right now? I don't like that food. Oh, wait, yes, I do.
Okay, sure.
It does lead to a lot of genuinely funny and cute interactions with her and the ghost dog where, you know, he'll say stuff like, like, man, I hate going on walks. And she's like, no, you don't. You love it. It's like, actually, you're right. I do love that. Holy shit. You're so smart.
Oh, I guess I do love that. Wait, let me back up for a second. You said that the Yakuza had abandoned these dogs.
Yes.
And they abandoned them because the air conditioning went out? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, you know, they weren't in attendance. And so normally they had some goons, you know, manning the facility. But the power went out in the city. And so they didn't have air conditioning at the building. So they left the building, leaving the dogs there because they wanted to go find air conditioning.
They casually wandered off for enough of a period that the dogs died.
That's, yes, yeah, that is what happened.
This is really irresponsible, even for the Yakuza.
Well, you know, the quality of hired goons these days just isn't what it was 20 or 30 years ago.
They're really only pulling the dumbest of society, it's true.
That is Shiba Inu rooms. I don't know, it's cute, it's funny. The dog faces that this guy draws are very humorous. I would encourage you to go look up what I'm talking about. It's hard to explain, you know, over a podcast, but yeah, I highly recommend it. I'm having a lot of fun with this one.
Imagine a dog. Okay, and now imagine a manga dog. Pretty funny. That's pretty funny, you gotta admit.
It's, well, I just don't know what you want me to say. It is pretty funny. It is. That's true.
It is funny.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. It is funny.
Yeah, no, it's funny.
When you see that, it's funny. You gotta laugh.
Oh, actually, I do want to bring up one more thing about it.
Uh-huh.
The dog can banish other ghosts. I feel like that's probably a pretty big thing that I left out.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The dog is an exorcist?
Okay, so...
What the
now,
fuck?
See, now I was trying to avoid just explaining the whole thing, but now we have to get into it.
Well, you could just leave it at that if you want. It's just a little bit of a surprising thing to leave out at the beginning.
Yeah.
The dog is a ghost, but it's also an exorcist.
Yeah, because you see, the main heroine, she's actually haunted at the beginning of the series because a classmate put a curse on her. But she didn't know that because she's not afraid of ghosts and doesn't believe in them. She just thought that she had really bad luck. And so when she moves into this apartment, at first the dog ghost is very hostile to her and is trying to get her to leave, a la doing a Beetlejuice.
And then
it turns out that once she figures out she can talk to the dog, and the dog can talk back, it lets her know that, you know, the dog was acting out against this ghost snake curse that was, you know, kind of surrounding her aura.
Okay, so there's multiple... Ghosts are all over the place.
Ghosts are real. There's multiple kinds. They're all over. And high schoolers can inflict them on other high schoolers.
Okay, this is taking on a lot of different dimensions.
Listen, it's mostly about the funny ghost dogs, okay? I just, you know...
There's just other stuff going on.
There's other stuff going on in the background, but it's not a main focus, at least not so far. Again, we are pretty early on in the life cycle, assuming this doesn't get canceled immediately now that I've talked about it. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes, I guess. But yes,
sure.
The dog can, in fact, eat and banish other ghosts. That's probably a pretty big thing to remember.
That's probably going to become important at some point in this story.
Shiba Inu rooms. I recommend that one.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Did I talk about the one where the young working woman, starts getting harassed by the lucky cat? Did I tell you about that one?
No. What's that one?
What was it called? I gotta, like, go find it. But this girl is, like, wandering home, and this huge, fat, awful cat is, like, begging her to take him home with her, and she's immediately creeped out by it, so she does not take it home. And then in the middle of the night, she wakes up and finds that it's breaking into her house and refuses to leave, And every time she tries to get rid of it, it like comes back in. All of her neighbors and her friends are like, oh, that's a lucky cat. You're blessed by this lucky cat. But it continually ruins her life at every opportunity. She fucking despises this cat. It's very good.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I got to find the name of it because I really like that one.
All right. Well, you look that up. I'm going to tell you about something that I don't read a whole lot of, which are one-shot manga. I know you read quite a bit.
Oh, shit.
I know. But this one caught my eye. Have you heard of... This is a one-shot manga by someone who goes by the author alias of Schwinn.
Schwinn?
Yeah, Schwinn.
Like the bike?
Yeah, like the bike.
No, I don't think I've had... Do you know anything else they've done?
Nope. Just thought I'd shout it out because I have the information available. Until We're Together is a yaoi manga, a one-shot about a guy whose dream is to become one of the background assistants on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Like, literally RuPaul?
Like, literally RuPaul, the drag queen, and her show, RuPaul's Drag Race.
RuPaul's name is specifically mentioned.
RuPaul is explicitly featured.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. And so I wanted to let people know about this one because I was appalled, disgusted. I find it morally reprehensible.
Sure.
And I think you know why.
Because it's a manga. Or is there more to it? There's an actual reason.
Well, obviously because it's a manga, but because of the fracking on RuPaul's Wyoming ranch.
Oh, well, of course.
I cannot believe the explicit support that this manga gives to the fracking.
The implicit permission. Doesn't this mangaka know that RuPaul has been canceled?
Apparently the news hasn't made it over there yet.
It's still traveling by wire.
Yeah. No, actually, this is about, it's a one-shot story chronicling the romance of, unfortunately, a teacher and his former student.
Another one of these, huh?
Yeah. It does Jesus. Take place after the student has already graduated university. So everyone's well an adult.
Uh-huh.
But it is, like, one of those things where... Toshi, who is our main character, who is the one who discovers in high school, that he's gay by watching American streams of RuPaul's Drag Race.
What?
Well, he was enticed by the costumes and he wanted to see what it was about. And, he just kind of it was very much one of those things he always kind of knew about himself. And then that just kind of helped him put words and a name to it.
Uh-huh. So it was more of like a queer awakening.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And, his excuse to himself at the time before he kind of had this awakening was that he was watching the episodes to help learn English, which if you've ever seen an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, I'm not sure that's exactly the English that's going to be super helpful to you in Japanese English class.
Uh-huh.
But he kind of comes into this knowledge about himself and decides that he wants to be the first Japanese person to be featured, not as a contestant on the show, but like explicitly as one of the background, like muscle boy assistants.
What? Dream small, Toshi. Dream small.
And he has a crush on his English teacher, and then that's kind of the introductory, and then we get a time skip to where he's now graduated university, and his father has died, who, was one of the reasons of, or actually, I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. We get a time skip, and then the perspective changes to, his English teacher, who he had a crush on. And this is a guy who has been in the closet for a very long time and is just now, like, 15 years later, kind of feeling comfortable in being, like, open and going to, like, gay bars in Tokyo because his father recently died, and that was like, you know, he was a super traditional man, pretty explicitly homophobic.
Sure.
So now, like, he doesn't have any parental attachments anymore, and he's allowed to kind of have this identity. And he runs into his former student at this gay bar, which was having an event of a drag race, like, season finale showing.
Sure.
And so from there, it kind of chronicles their connection and their early dating kind of in, like, flashes, you know, very truncated. And then we get some conflict where Toshi is, like, finally ready to go to America and try and get on Drag Race. And he's, like, contemplating whether or not they should break up. And then COVID happens.
Mm-hmm. And then COVID happens. That's a line from a lot of recent manga.
Yeah. And then the infectious disease that was going around. They always say it like very implicitly. They never just call it COVID.
Just remember that weird time that happened recently where we all didn't do anything?
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, like in this one, they never say COVID. They never say it. They say that infectious disease or that breathing disease that was going around.
Yeah, we don't need to evoke its name. We all know. We all know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. But we, you know, we get some relationship drama from tensions on, like, all right, well, how are we going to make this work if you want to move to America and all that? And then they just kind of skip over resolving any of that to the end where they just reveal that he got on Drag Race. And that was it. That was the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. But RuPaul is there. And says that he's awesome.
The manga RuPaul?
Yeah. Manga RuPaul's there and gives words of encouragement.
Awesome.
And then tells everybody to go frack.
That's dope. You gotta screen cap manga RuPaul.
I will.
We will have to start compiling our manga American celebrities at some point because I've got a whole bunch of great ones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just from Baki alone, we have so many good ones, but I've got a nice compilation going. I've got at least like five or six presidents alone.
Baki's recurring gag of like having Yujiro Hanma absolutely decimate American presidents is very funny.
Yeah. He just cucks world leaders over and over again. It's pretty great.
And it spans decades. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've got multiple Trumps, multiple Obamas. I've got Bushes. I've got at least one George Clinton. I've got one Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think I have an Eisenhower, a serious Eisenhower, and a gag manga Eisenhower. So I've got two different flavors of Eisenhower. I'm slowly building up the collection.
So I don't know. I thought this one was just kind of weird because it's the RuPaul Drag Race manga. It's not exactly like a, you know, very engaging or deep romance. It's about two people who just kind of hook up and then eventually discovered that they like each other a lot.
Sure. It's cool when you have a TV show in common.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes.
All right. I had one other thing that I wanted to talk about.
All right. Lay it on me.
This is actually something that you had read previously after I brought it up to you. And that is Drama Queen.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yeah. Now, this is a manga that I happened upon, like, entirely based on vibes, because I liked the cover.
He says happened upon. This is one of the current Shonen Jump, like, main headliners.
Well, that's the thing, is I don't read a lot of, like, Shonen Jump titles, besides Dandadan and Chainsaw Man. Like, those are the only two that I regularly follow.
Just the two biggest and most popular ones, you know.
Well, you know, I am a basic bitch. I can't get around that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Demon Slayer and My Hero are both long since dead now at this point. So, yeah.
Those are grandpa animes. Okay, yes. Yes, this is a Shonen Jump main page promoted manga.
Yep.
But I'd never heard of it before, so I consider it a good find.
it's just really funny to me.
I found this manga. It was on the front page of Shonen Jump. Yes, that's how I found it too. I was digging in the archives, just in the back room record bins, and I happened to come across the front page of Shonen Jump and found this manga I liked.
Hey, I was walking around New York the other day, and I found this huge park that I don't think anyone's ever heard of. It was crazy.
So I did read the first chapter of this a while back when we were reviewing the current Shonen Jump lineup. I think I mentioned it briefly, but I didn't go into detail because it wasn't as incredibly bad as some of the other things, so I didn't think it would be as funny to talk about.
I really like this one. Very briefly, this is a manga about like a alternate present. It's not really the future. It's an alternate present where aliens have supposedly saved the Earth from being hit by a giant meteor. And as thanks for using their superior technology, Earth just kind of lets the aliens have, like, blank check citizenship wherever they want to go, it seems like.
Yeah. They just wander. They wander around, do whatever they want.
They just do whatever they want. And they're real dicks about it, too. Like, real bad. It's like they're all American tourists.
Yeah. It's sort of, and this is not exclusive to Drama Queen. I've actually noticed it in a few recent manga where there's just sort of this kind of to serve man style alien, slow motion alien invasion, or like V. You remember V?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, sort of that kind of thing just happening.
I wonder why.
It's interesting.
The Japanese would be feeling resentful against, you know, an alien species coming in and just kind of going roughshod over all of their cities and major cultural spots, right?
Slow motion casual invasion. And there is one I want to talk about in the exact same vein when you're done describing this one, but okay. Yeah, go ahead.
And so we have our setting, and we have our two characters, which is a girl who works at basically what, like an Amazon packaging facility, something like that.
Yeah,
a box factory
dead end job.
Yeah,
some dead end piece of shit
manufacturing job, and she hates the aliens because, again, they're all dicks, like, pretty much.
Yeah, and her boss is one, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he's a dick too. He's the they are like a species comprised entirely of middle managers, it seems.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Truly hateful.
Yeah. And so her boss is like always giving her a hard time and like getting in her personal space and telling her that she's going to get fired if she doesn't, you know, do whatever. And she's always running into alien dicks, bumping into her on the street and getting the last parking spot. And I don't know, eating all of her favorite onigiri from the convenience store. Shit like that. And she runs into a guy who hates aliens because they killed his family. Like an alien drunk driver drunk drove into his family's car.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a very human way of murdering, I want to say.
I know. It is very much like I have sworn my vengeance on the Demon King because he fell asleep with a cigarette in his mouth and burned down my apartment building.
And so the premise is they team up because he wants to kill aliens. And for whatever reason, they have discovered that she really likes eating aliens.
What a coincidence.
I know. Crazy. I know. Match made in heaven, really, you know.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the inciting incident was, but they ended up, you know, murdering this alien because they're, I think, her neighbor or something. And they're trying to find a way to dispose of the body. And they're like, I don't know, why don't we burn it? and they try that, and she's like, wow, that smells good. And the gag seems to be that, like, dead alien flesh is so incredibly pungent and hard to get rid of that, like, aliens just kind of consequently are hard to murder that way. Like, they make a point of saying later on in one of the chapters that, like, a dead alien, when its flesh begins to rot, the smell is so powerful that it even comes up through several feet of concrete. Like, that's how hard dead alien bodies are to dispose of.
You need Tupperware.
Yeah. And apparently when you try and burn it, it smells really bad to everybody except for her, because she's a weird little, like, goblin freak person.
Yeah.
Not a cannibal, but...
Close.
Like, what's
if
the...
You're eating other sentient species.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to, like, that's not technically cannibalism, but it is something.
You don't want to be caught doing it. Like, if you're eating, like, a dolphin or something, you know?
Oh, God. And so, you know, they, after discovering her one weird ability in another world, I got sent to another world, and I only have the ability to consume alien flesh. They decide that they're going to partner up to go on an alien murdering spree, where he will just kill aliens wherever he can, and she gets to eat their bodies. And they do this. They kill a lot of people. Like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
They're not shy about it either. Like, they get close to getting caught so many times, and then they just kill the cops and eat the cops, because the cops are aliens now, too.
Dope. Yeah. Hey, why not? Bonnie and Clyde.
You know, and, like, they have run-ins with the alien Yakuza. They get taken up to, like, the head honcho alien. I mean, not, like, alien leader, the alien mafia leader.
The Don.
Yeah, and, like, he tries to get her to switch sides and be his, like, body disposal person. And she's, like, all on board until the other dude just starts murdering everybody again. And then she's like, all right, well, I guess I'll eat these bodies. She's very easygoing that way.
It's nice to be laid back.
Well, I guess what I like most about her character is that, in contrast to this dude who is on, like, a, like, borderline Chunibyo, like, you know, vengeance quest.
Yeah.
To avenge his family, who is, again, murdered by a drunk driver.
By the way, that's not murder. That's not even murder. That is manslaughter.
Well, it was a hit and run, and he got away with it.
Yeah, but that's still manslaughter.
It was, yeah, well, technically, you know, alien slaughter, if that's a thing.
Well, no, he slaughtered the mans. It was not alien slaughter.
It was an alien slaughterer slaughtering mans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in contrast to, like, his whole kind of dark, brooding, like, calculating character, she's just very much in it because she's hungry. Like, she's a Goku. You know, she's hungry all the time. She can eat absurd amounts of food seemingly in a single sitting. And they do get, like, increasingly, like, ridiculous with how much alien flesh she can consume at once. Like, when they escape from the mafia and he kills a whole room full of people, and she eats all of the bodies to hide them, to get rid of them, like, jelly bones and all.
Sure.
Before the backup goons even run into the building and figure out what's going on.
She has an insane metabolism.
An insane, like, Tasmanian devil-like metabolism. We are working up to a scenario where she does a little whirlwind, like, dust devil thing around the room and just, like, sucks up the bodies into her mouth.
Sure, sure.
Like spaghetti.
Oh, yeah. She's turning into Kirby.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, very much. And I guess they kind of try to explain it away a little bit by saying that the aliens are, like, they're mostly, like, jelly balloons. And they're drawn in a very, like, cartoony, kind of, like, childlike scribble kind of way.
Yeah.
Where they have little, like, cartoon elephant noses and dot eyes and, like, little antenna with balls at the end of them that stick out of their heads. and they're implied to be like mostly amorphous, kind of like jelly, like almost pudding textured flesh kind of thing. And so she can just kind of suck them up like a tapioca ball in a boba tea.
Yes.
I don't know. We're pretty early on. There's only like 9 chapters out. And I think when you read this, probably only the first chapter was out at the time.
Yeah, maybe 2 chapters or something like that. It was real early in this new stock of Shonen Jump comics.
I like this one a lot because I think the premise is very novel. I think it's definitely, you know, kind of like a reading this as someone who has been a tourist in Japan and wants to be a tourist in Japan again at some point in the future. I think maybe this author is trying to imply something about what they think about the influx of foreign money and foreign real estate purchases into their country.
Art is about what you take from it. So hey, if that's what you're reading into it, that's what you're taking out of it.
Okay, but I am also mostly a jelly texture that can be eaten very easily.
I'm always saying this.
My bones are basically chalk candy. They dissolve if you put them in water. They could kill me and get rid of my body like that.
Yeah, you would be like cotton candy and water. You'd
exactly.
You would just go away.
I would just vanish.
And the art style is very fun. I said at the time, it looks a lot like another comic that is running recently called Rai Rai Rai. It's a similar art style. I really like that style. It's got it's a little off model for current manga styling, which is greatly appreciated.
Sure, yeah.
Something that's also true about that cat manga I mentioned earlier, which has an incredibly unique style, and is called Tawara Neko to Machigai Jinsei, Cat and Mistakes in Life. I guess that's the name.
And this is not the prequel to The Masterful House Cat likes to make fun of you to your face.
The cat doesn't talk, so that's a big plus. But the cat is a big fucking asshole. The cat is a not a good dude. It's a bad dude. It's a bad dude.
It's a bad cat. It's a bad cat.
It's a bad cat. Very bad cat.
Okay.
I do want to mention that is very similar in some ways to a comic I read recently called Thunder 3. I'm guessing you have not heard of this one.
Well, I've never heard of Thunder 1 or 2.
You got to catch up. This one is by Yuki Ikeda. It's about 3 short kids who are pretty unspectacular. They're kind of just like normal high school losers existing kind of within the bounds of a sort of a loosely drawn kind of like gag comic art style world.
Uh-huh.
Who one day accidentally slip into a realistic world.
Oh.
After the main character's little sister runs away. And the only difference between their gag manga world and the realistic world is that at some point in the realistic world, aliens showed up and became, again, very similarly, like kind of an upper class, almost touristy, almost ruling class kind of social position. They just kind of wander around and do whatever they want. They're like 9 feet tall, so nobody's really like fighting back against them, you know? They're huge. At one point in the comic, like the kids watch this guy and his daughter like buy ice cream cones together, and they're like laughing and having a good time. And a father and daughter alien walk up and take the ice cream cone out of his hands and just start eating it. And when the guy complains, the cops show up and try to arrest him for complaining. So we've got some vibes going on. But okay. These 3 kids escape into this alternate world, and they discover because they're cartoons in this world, first of all, everyone calls them anime. They don't call them like, hey, look at those weird kids. Everybody turns and points to them and says, look, it's anime. Which is very funny to me. And of course, the other thing, obviously, being that they essentially have like superpowers in this world because they come from a world with a different set of physics, which is great. It's really good. This is a really weird one. I really like it. The juxtaposition of the gag manga art style onto like the sort of like realistic manga thing is just endlessly entertaining. But it's got that very similar thing going on where there's like this V-style slow motion alien invasion thing is happening.
Sure.
It's very good.
It's kind of like, that's why Who Framed Roger Rabbit works so well, right? The juxtaposition between the toon people and the real people.
Yes, exactly. Though it's obviously normalized in that universe. In this one, it's still novel.
Yeah. That vibe is pretty similar to Drama Queen. Slightly different, I think, in that the aliens in Drama Queen aren't, like, they are explicitly not so much an overclass as you're describing, where they're allowed to just do, like whatever they want. But it is implied that they have set up a systemically alien supremacist, like, society structure on Earth in a much more subtle way where, well, you know, like I was saying, like, aliens are the middle managers. They get the best jobs. They get, you know, they get to be almost exclusively the merchant class at some point.
Yes, they're definitely more threatening in Thunder 3. They they keep a massive hovering warship just above every major city in the world.
See,
you know, not in a threatening way, just like, just to have it there.
No, the aliens in Drama Queen are just constantly saying, like, hey, remember that time we saved your planet from getting destroyed?
Yeah.
Man, you'd be a dick if you didn't let me, you know, be the head of the UN. Again, because of that time we saved all you guys. That'd be pretty shitty of you.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And then I think what they're building towards is kind of this subtle background implication that maybe the aliens just kind of faked the whole thing, because no one can actually remember seeing the comet.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was just assumed.
Yeah. No, they just kind of showed up one day and said, like, hey, we just saved all you guys.
Yeah.
Better be thankful.
It's like it's a very classic style of con.
Yeah.
Hey, that thing you didn't know about, I stopped it. So cough it up.
I like this one. I like this one a lot.
Yeah.
It's on my list. I'm following this one.
Yeah. So we'll get about four or five more chapters and then it'll get canceled.
That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like the pacing at which they are going through, you know, how the humans like are interacting with the aliens and what they're implying on like what's going to happen. I'm afraid that it's going to burn itself out like really fast and not know where to go. Like, after a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
Because the gimmick of they kill alien or he kills aliens and she eats them, like, that can only escalate so far, right? Like, to the point where she eats the alien president. Like, I don't know where you go after that. Unless they do, like, an arc where they go to the alien planet and they try to eat everybody there.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I don't know.
I'd be down with that. I think it's more like we're already at the cutting stage. The other one from the recent crop that I liked called Ankoku Delta got cut very quickly. It was the weirdest and most unique one out of the entire thing. That was the one about the alien girl who likes to come to the human dimension. They're not from a different planet. They exist on like a higher dimensional plane.
Uh-huh.
But she can access the human dimension by like wearing a skin suit, which is just great. And that one immediately.
I mean, that's kind of how people interact with the ocean, right? We go to the ocean wearing a skin suit, basically.
Yeah, but it'd be more like if we climbed into like a giant tuna shell and then pretended to be a tuna by like wiggling around and stuff. It'd be more like that.
That'd be dope. We should do that.
Yeah, we should do that. But obviously, people don't like that. They don't like weird stuff. They don't like stuff that's slightly off model. They don't like anything that's, you know, unique or stands out in any way. So, of course, it got the hammer immediately.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, people don't like anything that can't be easily turned into a Funko Pop.
Well, you know, it's not immediately recognizable as a Naruto. So, like, who cares?
if it's not like any of the things that I already like, how do I know what biases to apply to it?
Yeah, I don't understand how this relates to Jujutsu Kaisen, so I'm not going to keep reading it. It's a real shame. We've really running out of stuff that has made it past 30 chapters at this point.
The great filter.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. They're just going to be putting out three chapters. Shonen Jump is just going to be new manga every week and then immediately canceled.
They should just call it One Piece Jump. That's the only thing they make money off of.
Yeah, but One Piece is almost done. We're rocketing towards the
end. And we've talked about it, you know, a lot in the past. They are panicking about One Piece being almost done.
Yeah. I mean, check this shit out. Chainsaw Man, obviously almost done. One Piece almost done. Boruto, from what I hear, running out of steam. Dragon Ball Super, obviously Toriyama's dead. It would be in poor taste to just keep cranking that out.
Hear that, Berserk? Do you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah. Dan to Dan probably got a lot of life left in it, so that's not a problem. Spy Family, the author's not really that into it anymore. Sakamoto Days had that terrible anime opening. People did not like that. Other than that, geez. I think that's it. I think that's Shonen Jump right there. I can't think of anything else that's like huge.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. I feel like the pipeline in which these kind of like big name hits comes out is drastically changing, maybe even fracturing, which honestly could be a good thing if instead of like four or five giant mainline titles that they ride on for several decades, like maybe they could just, I don't know, finance like shorter, complete, well-written stories.
You mean become a publishing house?
Yeah, become a publishing house instead of a content,
instead of a magazine.
It's an app. It's not really a magazine outside of Japan.
Oh no, we've long since abandoned magazines in this country.
Yeah,
nobody has magazines. I'm not reading Wired on paper.
That costs money.
I get paper cuts now. I can't deal with that.
I'm allergic to ink.
Okay, well, let's take a break and ruminate on the death of all good manga.
Oh boy, all right.
Guys, you remember a couple episodes ago, Nate was trying to shame me over my isekai reading list. Of course, he failed to do so because I am shameless.
He means that in every sense of the word.
Oh, absolutely. I've never known shame. Despair? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of things I feel. Shame is just one of the ones I discarded. It's useless to me.
I have purified my soul by discarding this useless emotion.
Yes. But, of course, in the absence of shame, loathing has taken its place. And I tend to loathe things quite ferociously.
Oh, he loathes with the best of them, folks.
That's true. That's why I can loathe isekai and still read them, because of the duality of man. But it did have me thinking a lot about genre and like genre specific things that I tend not to like at all. But I end up finding, let's say, exceptions that prove the rule a lot. I mean, again, because I read a lot of stuff, but also there are just, you know, for everything that you hate, there's probably something out there that you can stand. And I was looking over my list, and I had a couple of them that I wanted to talk about.
All right.
I know Nate has less of them because he doesn't like to experiment, but I've found quite
a lot. It's true. I like to stay in my little bubble, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't talk to strangers, nor do I leave my house very often. And that mentality implies to my media consumption as well. I pretty much, you know, just eat the dinosaur-shaped nuggets and macaroni and cheese version of manga most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. But I tend to poke around. You know, for example, like one of the big ones I don't like usually. I tend to steer clear of anything that's like a spin-off or a fan tribute. You know what I mean? I just like really do not like that kind of stuff. But you will remember even last episode I talked about that Boichi Fire Fist Ace side story.
Mm-hmm.
Or a while back I did talk about the Parasite short story collection of a bunch of guest artists. So, you know, just as an example, that is kind of one of those things that I often find. There's always something to love if you look hard enough.
Sure. Well, even in that same vein of spinoff, Carolyn Tuesday, you know, is a Cowboy Bebop spinoff.
Sure. Or, you know, direct sequel, as I like to think of it.
Well, let's not split hairs here. Come on.
you know, if you look really hard, you can see Jet in the background of some of the crowds.
All right. I think I get what you're going for. Let me see if I can think of an example. You know, I would say, and we've railed against it so much on this show already, but Isekai, one of the worst things to happen to anime and manga out there.
Oh, he's going there.
I'm going there right away. But, you know, if we're picking stuff that actually stands out as quality, despite the heavy content, I've got to say that Now and Then, Here and There is technically an isekai and is actually a really good, well-animated, good-looking, well-developed world and story. And I think that's not probably so out of place. Some people would say an isekai, but I think the big difference that makes it stand out to me is that it is not a video game power fantasy, like as its base. it's one of those isekais where you don't want to go. And, you know, I've talked about it before, but it's very much about someone going on a very harrowing, dangerous, traumatizing personal journey that leaves them entirely changed to their core by the end of it.
Yeah, like Peter Pan.
Yeah. No, wait, no. Leaving Wonderland. Wait, no.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing I like about Isher. I don't think I ever mentioned this when I've been talking about it. But I did mention, like, how isekai people are just kind of like part of that world.
Yeah.
But I don't think I mentioned the part where the earth that they are being isekai'd from is a post-apocalypse Mad Max style earth. So it's not like your typical isekai where like some hikikomori like dies from choking on a Cheeto and then wakes up in a fantasy realm. It's everybody who's an isekai'd visitor in that world has come directly from Mad Max.
So they must think the isekai world is like a amazing paradise.
It is beautiful. It's incredible. except for the some of them who think it's much more boring than the apocalypse they were just rescued from.
Yeah, see, this is...
I just think that is a fun detail.
Now and Then, Here and There is kind of the opposite of that in that the main character comes from modern day Japan and he's not like killed or even magically just teleported there. He kind of stumbles into a Spirited Away-esque kind of like, you know, tunnel. He goes into an old factory or train tunnel somewhere and comes out the other end in an absolutely hellish, war-torn, like blasted landscape where most of the horrible atrocities he witnesses are committed by child soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like a ReZero where he just suddenly inexplicably found himself there. It is much more in line with the, like, kind of classic fairy tale aspect of these stories. You know, like, kind of like My Neighbor Totoro, honestly. You know, he stumbles down the rabbit hole. He does an Alice in Wonderland. There we go. Brought it home.
Yeah, you're not supposed to go into the woods at night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He wanders into the bad part of town, the abandoned part of town, after school when he was explicitly warned not to because weird stuff happens there, right?
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that. They tell you not to do that.
Minus the threat of getting transported to another world, a bad one, by the way, minus that threat, it's still not a good idea, you know? A lot of broken down machinery, broken down buildings. You could get tetanus. You don't want that. You got to get a shot for that.
Your factory could collapse.
Yeah. So yeah, stay away. You know, stay away from abandoned buildings, just as a rule, I guess. They're probably not going to take you to a fantastical other world.
I mean, in that vein, you know, drifting classroom is essentially the combination of these two things, right? It is kids who have accidentally gone through the rabbit hole and also end up in, like, Mad Max.
Talk about a bad combo.
I know. It's fucking wild. And I love drifting classroom. I think everybody loves drifting classroom. But I was thinking of it in terms of, because it is a time travel story, and I just don't like time travel at all. I think time travel sucks. It's really bad genre convention.
There's a reason they tell you to just don't write time travel stories, because they're convoluted and they never make sense, and the only way to spin them is doing like a primer and leaning into the fact that, like, oh yeah, of course it doesn't make sense. The math is so much beyond your comprehension that we're just not even going to try explaining it.
Yeah, but I don't like primer either. I think
primer is dumb.
Sucks.
Primer was dumb.
Primer is dumb. Why people lost their minds over that movie? It's dumb. It's a dumb movie. It's bad. And the weird thing about the girlfriend is also bad. It's bad. It's just bad all around. And I just really do not like that it's an impossible task to write a coherent narrative with real emotional stakes when time travel is involved, because either you blow the entire plot on the inclusion of time travel, or the convolution of time travel sucks up all the narrative attention of the story. So the actual, like, emotional stuff that's supposed to be the interesting part is just completely sidelined. I don't like it. I don't like time travel at all. And there are very few stories that I think work in that way. I mean, in anime in particular, I think there is The Drifting Classroom. I think The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is really good. I like that one a lot.
I think it's a good movie and it's a good story, but I don't think that it is a particularly well-written time travel kind of thing.
I don't think it's not changing my mind about time travel.
Yeah.
Wait, Your Name?
Your Name, yeah.
It's like, okay, that's fine.
You know, you start off thinking that it's just a body swap story, and then you get the reveal that they're actually, in addition to switching, you know, their bodies, like, the time that they're switching is also, like, 4 years apart or something like that. And they write to each other in notebooks that they leave behind.
Yes, which, by the way, is just a remake of The Lake House.
Oh, yeah. I watched that with my wife, and that's something that she said.
Oh, really?
She's like, hey, this is just The Lake House.
It's just the fucking Lake House. It's just The Lake House. Or what's the other one? What's the other one? Is it You've Got Mail? Does that one have time travel in it?
Oh, you know what? Maybe it does. I think you're thinking of the Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah, the one with it's a Nora Ephron movie.
Yeah, yeah. Nora You've Ephron Got one. Mail.
Yeah.
Which is just The Notebook, but with emails.
Yes, exactly. Much better than a notebook, obviously. We all love email.
Hey, what if you could email through time? Wouldn't that be crazy? Because someone saw that you could edit the EXIF data on outgoing mail and change what date it looked like it was sent from.
This is also the other dumb thing, right? Where it's like, I think we had this argument at some point, or maybe it was someone else, where somebody tried to claim that, like,
just going to sleep and waking up like Rip Van Winkle style is time travel. And like,
oh, that was me. Yes, I said that.
That was you. Yeah, it's like, okay, yeah, I guess that's it's stuff, but that it's just waiting, or it's exactly the same style of time travel as just sitting down and then getting up later. It's
yeah, but if we're talking, so okay, it's okay, it's like that. It's just the same question as that Stephen King short story, The Jaunt, right? About the teleporter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I'm intimately familiar with The Jaunt.
Yeah. It's just the same thing. It's like, what's the difference if all that matters is our perception of what happened? If you step into a pod and come out unchanged 40 years in the future, that is basically time travel, albeit only in one direction.
Yes, it technically, it's hard to argue that you are traveling through time.
Now, going backwards in time is a lot more complicated, and we don't mess with that.
Yeah, don't fuck around with that.
Yeah.
It also requires a particular assumption about time, that like there is a forward and backward, which I don't know. We take that for granted, but I'm not so sure that's a real thing.
Time is an illusion of human perception, because we have to put in like manageable terms of stuff that came before and stuff that is going to come after.
Yeah,
humans thinking about it, time doesn't exist.
Yeah, like what the fuck even is it? It's like, you know, when Matthew McConaughey says time is a flat circle in True Detective, it's like, hold on a second. Okay, that sounds profound, but it's actually one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Wait, I've definitely heard the phrase, time is a flat circle, in many, many places. It can't be from True Detective.
Well, he says it in True Detective, and then everyone else started saying it, so I don't know what to tell you.
God damn it. Okay, all right.
Okay, anyway, there are other examples here. I don't want to get caught up in time travel exclusively.
All right, let me see. How about this? I am not generally one for the girl band anime, right?
Sure.
I've tried the shoes on many times, and nothing ever really sticks, especially not the moe, you know, version of it, which is something we talked about, I think, a couple episodes ago.
Sure.
About
Precure. Like,
Precure, K-On!, Lucky Star, all
well,
of that.
Cardcaptor Sakura.
Sure. Was she in a band?
Oh, it must have at some point.
Anyway, but one that I was surprised that got an anime a couple years ago, big name, everyone loved Bocchi the Rock at the time, and I talked about it, I think, on a very early episode in the show.
Yeah, we talked about Bocchi. Everybody's talking about this Bocchi.
Everyone's talking about this Bocchi. She's not even a rock. She's a little girl.
Yeah, now there's a real one. Isn't that crazy?
There's a stage play. There's a traveling concert. The Bocchi cover band is going to be at the Monterey Blues Festival next year. This is...
Playing Doors covers.
Yeah, yes. No, I don't know. I'm not usually into what... And I hate this genre name, because this is what other people call this subgenre, is cute girls doing cute things. And it's not entirely confined to just the band aesthetic, but anything.
Sure.
That's just about like moe girls hanging out doing stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, people fucking love infantilizing women. It's one of their favorite things. It's like anime industry is essentially 90% just infantilizing women, and people lose their minds over this shit. They love it.
They go crazy over it.
They go crazy for it.
It sells like gangbusters.
They love the stuff.
I don't know. I liked this one, just to reiterate some of the things that I said about it, you know, a while ago, but it's got experimental animation segments, which I think are really cool. You know, going back to it's very trying to emulate that Gainax feel, that like late 90s Gainax feel, where, you know, they do a lot of fun animation with clay, with like paper cutout stuff, with intersecting live action like footage, of just like
very cool,
kind of you know, incidental background shots of the city, stuff like that. That really is like, okay, at least they're not just, you know, sitting on their asses filling space in between what is very obviously contractually obligated cute scenarios of these high school girls.
Yeah, they want to get some Pop Team Epic mixed up in there, so they're at least not bored.
They're desperate. They're desperate for it. And actually, the Pop Team Epic girls cameo in the background of one episode.
They really?
Yeah, I think I sent you a screenshot of that at the time. Yeah,
that's fucking awesome. I love that.
So, you know,
Popoko and Peepee Me.
Yep. I think the other thing that I like is, and I guess this is kind of, you know, unextractable from what you were saying about infantilizing these female characters.
They love the stuff.
They love it. And apparently, like Comey Can't Communicate, people love the fact, like, people love cute girls that are socially anxious to the point of being like unfunctioning, it seems like. That seems to be the golden cherry on top of the sundae with these things. People go crazy for it.
They love the stuff.
Which I've got to say, it unfortunately is actually one of the things that I like about this, because it is very much not doing it in a kind of cute, romanticized way that Comey was doing it. They very clearly show that her Bochy, her social anxiety is ruining her life detrimentally and you know, very, very explicitly upfront. And the cute girls doing cute stuff aspect is a way for her to, you know, safely, gradually come out of her shell in that way by just interacting with her classmates.
Sure.
But it is not portrayed as like an enviable or cute or endearing thing when she like breaks down in tears trying to answer the front door. It's an ugly thing.
It's disgusting.
It's
loathsome.
It's disturbing.
I loathe it. I have an excess of loathing, and that's one of the things I loathe.
So, I don't know. That's one of the anime from that season that I watched all 12 episodes of, and I'm actually looking forward to the part two, season two, core two, I guess.
I also loathe that. I loathe that word.
But yeah, I don't know. That's probably my favorite thing from the girl band subgenre that I actually felt attached to.
Yeah, and you know, I don't loathe girl band stuff. I'm fine with girl band stuff. Like Carol and Tuesday, we just mentioned. I loved Carol and Tuesday, and I like girl band shows. Insofar as they actually play music, I don't like them as much when they don't actually get to the song stuff.
Well, that is what I find most perplexing, because most people who I see talking about Bochy the Rock are manga readers and manga fans first. You know, they were there before the anime got adapted. But the anime actually has them playing guitar with sound.
Yeah.
And, like, they're playing songs and singing.
Yes.
Whereas in the manga, it is just like, you know, it shows them doing a guitar pose, and then there's musical notes around them, and then shots of the audience going, wow, she's actually really good at playing guitar.
Yes. And we all know how much I loathe that manga about playing music. That is one of the things I do
love. Are you talking
about
Beck, Mongolian Chop Squad?
That's certainly one of them. That's one of the big ones that I don't like. I will say, just in the vein of what we're talking about, I do actually really like Goze Hotaru in this vein of manga where girls play music. I actually really like that one about the band of blind women who travel from town to town playing music. I like
that
one a lot. Yeah, all the other ones can go to hell.
Well, one last thing I guess I like about Bochy is that they're in a rock band and not an idol group. That's cool.
Because thank God. I do loathe Jesus idol Christ. Groups. I loathe idol groups as well. I just cannot get on board. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm so sorry, you guys. Well, you know what? Talking about recent things, you know, we talked about harem stuff in the last episode. Or the episode before that, right?
Somewhere back there. You expect me to remember that far back?
I can't remember.
Come on.
It was in regards to the harem death game that I read Which I said, I actually like that one because of the subversion of the genre. Well, there is one kind of more straight up harem that I actually do like, even though most of these I just cannot stand. Go back and listen to 100 Girlfriends review for my thoughts on those. This one called Otome no Harawata Hoshi no Ido by the guy who is now doing Hochi and Obero in Shonen Jump. Is a very traditional harem manga about a boy who goes to school with a bunch of alien women.
Dope. Cool.
Sort of a Tenchi-esque kind of thing.
Yeah. All right.
But this is where it gets very complicated. I know at some point we must have mentioned this a long time ago, but I'll reiterate here because I liked it so much. The dude, and this, I got to be careful here because it might come off bad. I don't want to say human supremacist, but he has decided very early on in his life that he wants to make sure that when he has children, it's with a human woman because he wants to perpetuate his own species. That's something that's important to him for some reason.
Yeah, so definitely some kind of racist.
Yeah, I know. It's sort of like, wait, hold on, the main character
but I
of
guess,
this hair manga
I guess in
is,
the
mis-
sense that,
is an anti-misogynist.
Yeah, that's speciesist?
Speciesist? But I would have, it's not like he hates these alien women. In fact, he likes them and he makes lots of friends with them, you know, because it's a hair manga. But that is sus, I admit it. I'm not going to make bones about it. It's real sus that's the...
Well, it's about as subtle as Drama Queen, what that author thinks of tourists coming into their community.
It is more of a premise just to set up gags, you know, because the idea is he goes to alien school and there's all these incredibly beautiful variations of alien women. And they all want to have sex with him. And there needs to be a reason why he refuses to do that, right? To perpetuate the gag.
And so he says, no, I don't want you beautiful alien women. I only date pure, straight, black-haired Earth women.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there are other reasons. For example, the first girl that falls in love with him, whenever she gets horny, her body literally catches on fire, like Johnny Flame style.
Just like me.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I don't want to die, so maybe we can just be friends. Would that work?
Are the aliens human looking?
Yes, they're all human looking. They have alien parts, but they're mostly just beautiful women.
Okay. And they have superpowers.
Not really. I mean, her is more of like a, you know, a physical disability than a superpower. But like the other ones are, you know, one of them is a cat girl who makes a huge deal about being a cat girl. She thinks that essentially gives her the edge over all human women.
I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yes, yeah, so I've posted the image where she tries to gently break it to her that actually it's only gross otaku who like cat girls and regular people don't care. And she gets really depressed about it.
Well, it's kind of weird that she is both a cat girl and cat girls exist in human media, like separate from her alien species. I gotta say, that's quite a coincidence.
Well, this is set in a future where aliens have just recently arrived on Earth, right? And there just happens to be a species that it looks like a cat girl. And so she's very cocky about it. The other thing I really like about this is it focuses a lot, kind of like in the harem death game, right? Like, why would all these people be... We need an explanation as to why these women would want to fuck this guy. And this one is much more blunt about it. They make it very clear that all these women want to fuck him because he is the hottest dude at school. He is insanely fucking hot. He's ripped. He's incredibly handsome. He's, a nice guy who's charming. So these girls are just straight up lusty. Like, oh my god, I want to fuck the hottest guy at school.
He's just the school prince type. That's his thing.
Yeah, but he doesn't have that aura. He's not like what that character would usually be.
He's just a chill, down-to-earth, good-looking dude who likes to hang out and fucks real good.
Yeah, they basically make no bones about it. Whenever the girls are confronted with, like, hey, why does everybody like this dude? They're like, well, he's insanely fucking sexy. Like, we want to get down.
I mean, at least they're honest about that aspect
of it.
Yes,
which is what I like. That's what I like about it. It's like they're not making any bones about, he's so nice. It's like, no, he's fucking ripped as hell. There are multiple gags where the comic portrays him in the shower as if he is one of the sexy girls. And then the camera pulls out and it's him, his insanely ripped, glistening body. And like the narrative's like, got your ass. It's very good. It's very good. And the gags are very funny as well. It's very well drawn. It's actually funny the way that the girls are upfront about their desires and how shallow they are is really good. It's really good and funny. It's also like 16 chapters.
Okay. All right.
So it's all right. It's a genre I do not like and a manga that makes use of it in a fun way.
Okay, well, so for me, this is the other one that I thought of when you asked this question. Mm-hmm. And I guess, and now that you brought it up during the Bochy bit, it's kind of just tied to the exact same, like, female infantilization thing, and that is the magical girl genre.
Sure.
Which I guess is slightly different, you know, in the sense that at least the characters in this genre, I guess they are supposed to be like superheroes, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
But it's still inextricably tied to, not inextricably, fundamentally is what I was trying to say. It's fundamentally tied to this image of Cardcaptor Sakura, it's Sailor Moon, like the high school, middle school girl who kind of has like a super bright, flowery aesthetic, you know. Fights evil in the name of love and good and all of that.
Yes, and post 9/11 became the like the ironic grim dark manga genre with Madoka Magica and Mahime and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Which again, I guess mostly what I don't like of it is the, you know, objectification and infantilization of these very young women.
But people love it. They eat it up. People love that shit.
It sells like hotcakes.
They love it.
So generally just something that I don't see as for me, nor would I want it to be for me, or associate with anybody who thinks it is for them. But I did like, and this is, again, something that we talked about a long time ago, but Suicide Girl, which I think is, I guess, what you would say is a very, like, obtuse, upfront parody of the magical girl genre. You know, it is about a just frantic mess of a woman who gets amazing superpowers from the... Was it like a Shinigami? Like bureau or something that gives her powers.
No, she tries to do a group suicide, and the guy who sets it up is he's tricking all the people because he wants to teach them a lesson about life, and she's the only one that's disappointed at the end of it that she didn't die.
Right. Yes.
And that gives her the ability to like use suicide powers.
And she's not the only one. There are other suicide girls, which now that I say that out loud is very similar to a website from the early 2000s.
Yep.
And they all have like magical girl transformations that involve killing themselves in like very graphic ways.
Yeah. How they tried to kill themselves is directly tied to their powers.
Yes. And which I think is, you know, interesting and funny, and it's very goofy. Like it is not take itself seriously at all.
Yes, it is. It is fascinating because it is sort of playing in the space of like the grim dark subversion magical girls, but it is not grim dark at all. Even though it is all about like suicide and people killing themselves.
No, it's basically a borderline gag comic. most
yeah,
of the
but
time.
But it's incredibly funny and cool and lighthearted in most aspects.
Well, what I like about it that made it stand out to me is, again, in kind of the reversal of those classical magical girl aesthetics, it kind of throws all that out the window, and it has like very angular character designs. Everything's super sketchy looking, very rough, like you know, motion lines. It looks like it was drawn by somebody going off of 3 days of Adderall and black coffee, and everyone kind of has this like, I don't know, I would have to say, and this, you know, this is for my millennial listeners out there, it's got some Jonan Vasquez like qualities to everything.
Well, this is Nakayama Atsushi, who is by definitely one of my top 10 manga artists like of all time. They've done mm-hmm. a bunch of shit that I absolutely adore, including like Yurotaro, Mage Game, which only got 4 chapters, by the way. A couple other stuff. He's currently doing something called Nejimaki Kagyu, which is a little sus. But his art style is just absolutely my favorite.
It's really good. It's
really good. And Suicide Girl is the best thing he's done.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read any of his other stuff, but I'll take your word for it because I really like this.
Suicide Girl, Gambler's Parade, The Zombie Maria, Cave Girl Urara, Yurotaro, like I said, he wrote a precursor to this called Love Suicide. He wrote something called Wang Tang Chang, The Yureto Hunter, which is incredibly bizarre.
The man has hit after canceled hit.
This dude fucking rocks, and all of his shit gets canceled, much like all of my other favorite mangaka.
I would definitely place this in the same category or like vibe space as like Panty and Stocking, you know, kind of the, I feel like they're
sure
going for the same energy a little bit.
There is,
you know,
there's definitely a frantic energy that they share.
Yeah.
I just think whereas Panty and Stocking is doing a, what if, I don't know, Powerpuff Girls was like sex themed. This is more like, what if Sailor Moon was about fucking eating too many sleeping pills?
Yes.
It's just great. It's really good. And it has the advantage of essentially being done. It's a complete story.
Yeah. It's not even that long, too. It's 30-something chapters in total. Manageable in an afternoon.
Damn, aren't you lucky? I had to read it while it was coming out.
Well, la-di-da. Ooh, you were cool before it finished. Good for you. That's good for you.
This is what I've been saying. I've been really trying to stress that. I hope that's come through.
If you want to be cool like him, just take our recommendations. That's all we're saying.
Yes, handsome and beautiful listeners, I cannot stress enough. You have all the tools. Mr. Policeman, I've given you all the clues you need for a successful manga reading career. Please go out now into the world and read good manga. That is all I ask of you. We're not even taking money for this. This is a free
not yet.
Service. Not yet. We're getting there. Not yet, yeah. Though. As far as it goes right now, this is a free community service we are performing for you. I am begging you to take advantage.
This deal will not last. Get now.
Yes, and speaking of not lasting, I am rapidly fading. I think we should call it here.
The man needs to get his whopper.
That's enough manga for the moment.
All right. Okay.
You're not going to be able to read all of those. We talked about like 5 or 6 different things.
They can't read.
You're just absorbing it. This is why Nate explains things in excruciating detail, because he does not trust you to actually go and read anything.
I mean, that is a joke, but that is almost entirely true. Why I explain things the way I do.
Yeah, he has no faith in you.
Less than.
He is less than faith. Faith no more.
You're actively draining my faith in the greater society. Well, a lot of reasons, but you in particular, for sure, dear listener. Let's not dwell on that now. Let's dwell on the things that we did tell you to go read this episode. Check them out.
Yeah, we'll disappear now. We'll be gone. Again, I'm so sorry that you failed to stop listening to this podcast, but you made it all the way to the end yet again.
Mm-hmm,
you'll probably accidentally start listening to the next one.
So when you do, we'll bring you some new stuff that you can fail to read. How does that sound?
I think that sounds like a good deal to me.
That sounds perfect to me. Follow the accounts, etc., etc. Go back and download the old episodes so that I can pump these numbers up a little bit.
Like and subscribe, dog.
Like and subscribe, dog. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Yeah, that's a funny looking dog, all right.